All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. July 6, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It's raining. It's a rain day. And I couldn't come at a better time. It's like, we need some rain. We need to cool down a bit. We need to settle down. It has been quite a week, quite a weekend. And I'm exhausted. My God. It's the day after. The 4th of July weekend is always a big deal. And it definitely did not fall short this year. Even bigger. You know, with the other celebrations going on over in D.C., we don't live far from that. It just seems to be sort of one big, you know, vibe. And it's been great. You know, I love it. So grateful. So grateful to be part of this country. And I may have said this before. When I was a kid, the bicentennial train came through the base that we lived on. So I remember as a little kid, we went and saw the bicentennial train and I think the bicentennial bell. And we all got bicentennial coins. And it was really cool. As a kid, I definitely did not realize what, you know, the bicentennial was all about. And that was for 200 years. So that was 50 years ago. I was 7. And it was cool. You know, we were more excited about the train and, you know, doing stuff. Definitely didn't feel the symbolic importance of it, but it was definitely cool. And now I'm grateful that I can see, you know, 250 years, but man, it's just been a lot this week. The traffic, I boohoo about the traffic. Please forgive me, but the traffic here is unreal. And Thursday and Friday were just next level. And of course, you know, we have all these great technology, which we always appreciate. I notice like when we come back from Connecticut, I always, you know, type in home and it gives me like 3 or 4 versions of how to get there. And I think that these apps are really sending people to places they typically would not go. It used to be, you know, if the highway was backed up, you just got in line and you rode through the highway. Now these apps are sending people into the developments. And, you know, I guess it's par for the course, but it is definitely, you know, we're seeing a lot. So, and listen, I'm grateful. We appreciate it. Town loves the people. This is what our town's about. You know, that's exactly what this town was a summer capital of the world, and we did our best during the summer. In the winter, you know, back in the day, not even a lot of people lived here year round. A lot of people, my uncle, you know, obviously it was my dad being, you know, born and raised in Delaware, and then of course my uncle having a place up in Newark, but they always came down in the summer and they had a little, you know, a trailer. And it was back in the woods and it was hot and muggy and he didn't have air conditioning and it was summer. And they would come down for the summer. They used to have this awesome grill. And it was the last grill at the end of the boardwalk. And so he was very busy. And so that was his world. They would come down for the summer, work their ass off, make a lot of money, and then go back up to Newark for the rest of the year, right, for the winter and all that stuff. And but, you know, when I moved here in 94, still not a lot of people here year-round. But over time, and especially after the housing boom or crisis or whatever it was in 08, we really had a lot of people move to the area. And then, of course, with the pandemic, people working from home brought a lot of folks. And now with all the different things that are going on in different states, different people are, you know, that's how I met my wife. You know, they were from New York. Taxes got so high up there. I mean, could they pay for it? Yeah. But could they save a lot of money to move to Delaware? Absolutely. And they did. And just like a lot of people. So now we have a year-round community, which is great. But when the summer starts, boy, it is hopping. So I think this is the peak, usually 4th of July. And then, of course, you know, all of government gets out for July and August, and they come back in September. So we have, you know, Rehoboth has always been a big summer place for D.C. And so next month or so, it's just going to be, you know, pretty grindy, but grateful, love it here. Been thinking a lot about sort of leaving, feeling a little bit like a prisoner in my house, because really sometimes you can't really do much due to the traffic. I mean, I could always just go get into the traffic and just go, but it's not like regular traffic. It's really the kind that makes you want to like hurt people. So, but enough of that. Super grateful, really blessed, great weekend. And they had the fireworks. That's the other thing. We have, you know, we have the Bethany fireworks. We have Lewis fireworks. We have Rehoboth fireworks. We have Kings Creek fireworks. We have all these different fireworks. And then, of course, I bought fireworks. So we had our own fireworks. And usually we ride the bus into Rehoboth for the fireworks, but we decided not to. We were like, you know what? And we were going to go to Kings Creek, where my dad used to live, and watch their fireworks. And we're like, you know what? Don't feel like it. So we just like chilled yesterday and sort of laid low and stayed out of the way. And, you know, and then we're back to Monday. And so definitely excited about the week starting. I have got to get back to meetings. Takes me back 7th grade, 8th grade. Yeah, so anyway, yep, back to meetings. I had you know, I was planning on going to visit my dad. I did not go visit my dad this weekend due to the festivities taking place in the area. I was like, I'm not coming up, Dad. He's like, don't worry about it, it's no problem. But I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll go up this morning. And then of course you know, and I think I've shared, you know, I've sort of been sick. So I'm doing it, I'm making it, but I haven't really felt 100%. And I thought, you know, I'm going to get up this morning, I'm going to go for a run, I'm going to do my kettlebell workout, I'm going to get my kid up, who is pissing me off, by the way. And I want to go up, we'll go up and visit my dad, and then I'll get back early enough so that I can make the meeting, because Mondays at noon is my favorite, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays are my favorite meetings, and I have not been to it. Last Monday I had the dentist, and so for whatever reason, I haven't been to a meeting for a hot minute. So I'm going today. And of course, I got up late. I woke up at 7:30. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, what? I slept. And she's like, yeah, you slept. Good for you. I was like, yes. You know, my wife's always rooting for me to get a good night's sleep because I guess I'm old. And she's like, you did so good, Joe. You did good, Joe. And so I got up late. And then, of course, I got to go sit in my office and sort of catch up on all my propaganda on my phone. And then finally, I got up and I went for this amazing run, felt strong. I watched this great thing last night on YouTube about this guy doing this. Just, it was a couple shows about the guys running and just, you know, going 100 miles and I'm trying to do 2, and I'm, you know, I've always said my weakest muscle is the one between my ears, and that is what talks me out of, you know, running. And so I really had a different attitude, and I felt good this morning, had a great run, did a kettlebell workout. But then I was like, you know, do I get him up and then go see my dad? And then we're like sort of in the window of possibly missing the meeting. So I said, forget it. I'm going to the freaking meeting today, hell or high water. And, but you know, that's, you know, that is what I need to do. I won't say my wife yesterday is like, how are you feeling? Because I said, I haven't been to a meeting in like 2 weeks, maybe 3. She's like, how are you feeling? I go, I feel good. And, you know, of course, I'm like, I don't want to drink, right? And I said, I'm about 9 bad decisions away from drinking, and the first one is I don't need meetings. So so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to a meeting. It's number one priority today. I'm looking forward to it. I did want to come upstairs and do a podcast because I'd like to get back into that. I enjoy doing this podcast. And so here we are. You know, it's funny. A couple things. I'll see if I can... We were talking, my wife and I were talking, because, you know, she's also started doing a kettlebell workout. My wife is saying goodbye. You know, my wife is 40, and, you know, I think we all know at 40 and up till, you know, we could eat and do anything we wanted, more or less, and never really felt any of the consequences. But probably around 40, we start to, you know, and so we have to start caring, right? And so she has... we both started doing this little kettlebell workout. Nothing big. You know, I'm not posting any videos or anything, but she's doing it. And she has not been doing it because we have had, you know, so much going on for the last week. And so her goal today was to make sure she got outside to do her kettlebell workout. And so she did it, and we were sitting outside, and we were talking about, am I, you know, my wife is not in recovery. She's sober, but she is not in recovery. And she was telling me about something from last year. And I was like, you know, I can't, you know, it's really, I try to make it a point that I don't want to think about, consider, put into play things that happened last year. Because it's just, it's not relevant. Now, I always pay attention and remember and, you know, categorize, right? It's logged down, but I'm not reflecting that much on it. And I was watching this thing the other day about someone that was talking about food, and I'm always interested in food. And this person would say, you should only eat seasonal food. Like, you know, this time of year is when you eat watermelon, right? This time of year is when you eat, you know, fresh fruits, plums, cantaloupe. I don't know where they come from, so I don't even know if they're even fresh, right? But ideally, this is the time of year you would eat these kind of things. And then, of course, in the winter, you eat more fall stuff, squash, and so on and so forth. And, you know, and I sort of was like, you know, my life today is like a, you know, bowl of soup. And the ingredients that I add to the soup is what I eat, you know. And usually for me today, it's the ingredients of the day, right? Or maybe a little bit of yesterday, maybe a little bit of tomorrow. Just knowing, right, being aware, like I'm not worried about tomorrow, but I do know tomorrow I am very busy. I just had someone text me wanting to get in who had to cancel. So I'm not living in tomorrow, but I see you, right? I see you over there. And yesterday, right, not that I'm thinking about it, but very lazy, restful, right? Not very productive. I'm not paying attention to it, but I see you. And so today is the day, right? I want to get my run in, my kettlebell, my meeting, because yesterday I wasn't very great, and tomorrow. So it's just the day. It's almost like a today's soup with a little bit of today or yesterday and a little bit of tomorrow. And that's what I eat, right? That's my nourishment. That's my spiritual nourishment. That's my what do they call it? Oh, my brain. You know, it's that the basis, you know, celery, carrots, and onions, the trifecta of the base of like a good soup. And that's my main trifecta of products. But, you know, I try to incorporate a few things. But I know one thing. I can't add what happened last year into the soup, right? I can't add something that's not part of this season because it gives it bad flavor, right? Bad taste. And I've lived like that for so long. And I'll never forget when someone said, you know, you need to stay in the day. If you have 1 foot in tomorrow and 1 foot into yesterday, you are pissing all over the present. And I thought, oh, that's just clever. But it's so true, right? You know, my shoulders are not big enough. I'm turning this over to you. That is my prayer. And my shoulders are this day, this 24 hours, right? Even really, it's from about 7 to midnight is what I can handle. And, because I can do pretty good with that, right? I also can't be like, well, that's not till tomorrow, so I'm not worried about it. Because I do. I pay attention. But these are habits. And as a person that drank and, you know, not just the drinking, but just the thinking, right? The behavior, the actions, right? We admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our actions have become unmanageable. And so, you know, I can become inconvenienced by summer and it can create actions that are unmanageable. I can become inconvenienced by the amount of clientele that I have, and my actions can become unmanageable. And that has nothing to do with drinking, right? I don't drink. I don't do drugs. But, right, like if I can get inconvenienced, right, I can cut people off in traffic. And, you know, I shared not long ago, I'm trying to be better about the things that I say. I sort of went through this period where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to say, I'm tired of not saying things, so I'm just going to say them. Well, you know, I can lose clients that way, right? I can lose friends. I've lost a lot of friends. Turns out they weren't as much a friend as I thought, but that's fine. I'm aware. But I don't need to lose clientele, and I don't need to lose family. And in times where situations come up that I may feel that I need to share, I refrain. Do I need to say it? Do I need to say it now? And does it need to be said by me? Very good, you know, 1, 2, 3. Or what's the other one? Go on your third thought, right? It used to be my first thought. My mouth would just run. I would say stuff. Apologies needed to be had. Please forgive me. And I don't want to live like that, you know, but these are all just cool things that I live in through, or I learned through living in recovery. And, it's really, you know, it's really cool. But like, you know, my buddy came by this weekend, he lives upstate and we were always, you know, texting and chatting and we were both in recovery. He's doing great. And he came down, he's like, you want to get together? And I was like, yeah, why don't you just come over for coffee? Well, sometimes when people come over and we chat, I'm like, do I get into recovery? Do I want to talk about that? So sometimes I can overanalyze and end up not saying much because I'm like, is that selfish? Is that, what's that about? You know, I start overanalyzing it. And so I need to relax when it comes to certain situations like that because, you know, my friendships and all of my relationships do not need to be based on recovery. I'm learning how to be a friend and have conversations that don't always have to do with recovery. And that is tough because sometimes that's all I know. It's all I know. Because the opposite of that is sometimes what I'm trying to avoid, which is, you know, having an opinion, telling someone what to do, being a victim or whatever it might be. You know, it turns out a lot of my conversations in the past were about me. And, you know, I don't want that today. And so I'm trying to be better. But, yeah. So that's what's been going on. It has been a crazy week. I am excited about getting back to meetings. I do feel good. I don't have a lot of voices telling me not to go to meetings. For some reason, I'm having a little issue with the evening meetings. I sort of got away from them for a long time. Even like prior to the pandemic, all the meetings I used to go to, in fact, were all at 8 o'clock. You know, when I got sober back in 97, that's when all the meetings were. There was no 7 o'clock meetings. There was no 4 or 5. There may have been a noon. There was an early morning meeting, but it was all basically in the evenings. And then we started, you know, of course, changing, right? People say, you don't like that meeting, make a new one. So someone say, I don't like going to meetings at 8. I'm going to make one at 7. And so then we started getting some 7 o'clock meetings. And then the Monday night meeting, I don't like the 7 o'clock. I'm going to make a 6:30. Like, okay, well, that's a... Now we're starting to get confused on what time meetings are, right? And now they just added a Drop the Rock meeting on Saturdays. And that meeting, of course, is at 5:30. So now we got meetings all over the place. And like I said, for a long time, going to evening meetings was the thing I did. But now I've been trying to get to these noon meetings. And then I'm free for the evening. And so, you know, of course, the family, we always... You know, we either cook or we go out and get something to eat. We hang out. And now, and it's usually I sort of like kind of run out of steam probably about 5 o'clock. And then I got to wait 2 more hours to get to the 7 o'clock. And so I've just, you know, these would be, you know, it'd be worth having a conversation if I hadn't figured out other meetings to replace them with. But the problem is the meetings I replace are at noon, and then I'm just not going to evening meetings at all. And my home group is at an evening meeting, and I have not been going to it. So I either need to get a new home group, or I don't know. I don't need to do anything. I'm going to meetings. I feel great. I'm super blessed. Just really a wonderful time in my life. Very grateful. And But that's, you know, what I was thinking about, you know, this sort of my soup of life and what are the ingredients in my soup for the day. And it's usually, you know, obviously waking up and trying to provide some exercise and some quiet time for myself and then showing up, doing the things that I need to do for my father. And then obviously I have work. And that's the main ingredient in my soup. Well, the main ingredient in my soup is my family. But, you know, the work, you know, I got to work. We got to make money. We have to survive. And so that's part of it, too. When those are all pretty balanced, right, and ripe, makes for a pretty damn good soup. And that's one of the cool things, you know, and I think I was just trying to say this, but early on, you know, staying in the day, one day at a time. And I thought, oh, well, that's so simple, one day at a time. But it is such a huge base for the soup because if I follow those directions, I can't add shit into my soup that ain't worth eating for the moment, right? I'm not bringing in yesterday's garbage and next week's garbage. And it just makes it tolerable, and I can handle it. And I'm awesome. I feel great. Grateful. Let's see, what time is it? So, okay. Well, let's see. Let's read the daily reflections. I hope everyone's doing well. It's been a heavy weekend, man. This used to be a big drinking weekend, and luckily I didn't spend it reflecting on drinking. But man, this is really, back in the days when of my drinking, I lived down in the town, and man, I've shared before, I would get drunk in the morning, I would pass out, and then I would get drunk again at night, twice drunk in one day. That's fucking crazy. And if it wasn't for the passing out, I would have stayed drunk all day. That would typically be my MO, but I'll never forget having my brother pick me up on the side of the road under a payphone because I couldn't walk. And he threw me in the car. And then, of course, I, you know, passed out and then got up later. And then we did some more drinking and went back out. So I'm so thankful I don't put my body through that anymore. Oh, really rough. All right, let's see. The daily reflections. Let's see what's going on here. July 6th, identifying fear. Identifying fear. The chief activator of our defects has been self-centered fear. Oh, my God. That is it, right? That's the big matzo ball. That's the fact right there. The chief activator of our defects has been self-centered fear, right? You know, I was... Actually, let me read this. When I feel uncomfortable, irritated, or depressed, I look for fear. This evil and corroding thread is the root of my distress. fear of failure, fear of others' opinions, fear of harm, and many other fears, I have found a higher power who does not want me to live in fear, and as a result, the experience of AA in my life, freedom, and joy, I am no longer willing to live with the multitude of character defects that characterized my life while I was drinking. Step 7 is my vehicle to freedom from these defects. I pray for help in identifying the fear underneath the defect, and then I ask God to relieve me of the fear. This method works for me without fail and is one of the great miracles of my life in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's right. Yeah. I mean, I believe that. You know, step 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings is to me the, you know, the one that, you know, I've said before, it's the one that kept me sick, right? 6 and 7s, you know, character defects. 6 is where the ones you see, the ones that are blatant, the ones that are easily corrected, the ones, you know, not easily, but easily pointed out. But 7 is the ones that nobody sees. It's the private ones. It's the ones that I think in my head. You know, I said it before, you know, my first thought in traffic is murder, right? You know, I want, not, maybe not murder, but, you know, what? Rage, right? And then, of course, you know, the recovery knows that I can't act on that. Of course I wouldn't want to. And so I don't. But it's sometimes those kind of thoughts I still feel bad about. Even though I don't act on them, I still regret the fact that I had them at all. And, you know, flirting in the internet. You know, I spoke at a meeting about the 7th step and talked about the, you know, the micro cheating, you know, hearting things. Nobody knows, right? But if, you know, if I'm hearting girl pictures and my wife finds out, she, you know, she'd be like, bro, what's up? And I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live in fear, right? And so that's up to me, right? Nobody sees it. Like, it's not even, and that's just a small example, because, you know, two guys came up to me after the meeting and were like, you're so right, right? I do that, and I worry. And, but there's, you know, a lot of different things that I could do that nobody would know about, and did, right? Did for a long time in recovery, not drinking. Some of my behavior, early recovery, even middle recovery, even like 10 years ago recovery was not fantastic. But I was not drinking or drugging. But I was still, some of my behaviors were not good. And I had to fix them. But I don't want to, you know, 10 years ago, I was going through a situation that was just all selfish fear. It was so freaking bad. And I still have post-traumatic stress disorder from my behavior. And I'm so, you know, I'm just like, never, ever, ever do that again. And I don't know, you know, it's probably 9 steps that lead to it. And I, you know, I avoid all of them, but I just, you know, it was so bad. And I don't want to live like that again, not in recovery. And it took something like that for me to understand how much the 7th step, the character defects that nobody really sees that I need to address. And, but anyway, that's it. I hope everyone's having a great day. I am having a great day. I appreciate it. You know, God bless America. Hang in there, and we'll catch you later. Bye.